A little better after basketball today.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Welcome to the House Committee on Transportation and Economic Development. We have a fairly short agenda today. Sort of a surprise to me, but we'll see how we get through it. To start with an informational meeting on House Bill 3130, Representative Wisnett and Representative McLean. While you're getting settled, I'll note for the hordes in the audience that the reason we're having an informational hearing today as opposed to a public hearing is that we received the bill in the committee on Thursday, too late to do the official notice requirements for a public hearing, but we wanted to take the time opening and particularly as it is sort of consistent with the theme we've been on lately. So we're glad you're here, and would you like to introduce, or do you want to have Troy give us a little summary?
And give them Troy, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, representatives. House Bill 3130 modifies list of new technologies or type of economic enterprises that qualify for use of monies deposited into industrial development revolving funds of individual counties to include development of traffic control devices.
Thank you. Gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Chair Reed and the honorable colleagues. For the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, State Representative House District 53. I had the honor of representing Lapine for over 9 years, and now my colleague, Republican leader Mike McLean, represents that. We're here. This is as important legislation as House Bill 2500, Chair.
Thank you, sir. It's a joke for those of you who are not on the Education Committee. We were in reverse positions a little bit earlier today.
No. But I wasn't the chair. But Mr. Chair and colleagues, this is an important piece of legislation. It's what Troy was telling you. What he said there was that this legislation will provide counties with more flexibility in determining how they're going to spend their money. In Deschutes County, they're looking at spending $200,000 of county funds that will be matched by the Oregon Department of Transportation to bring in a total of $1.4 million to construct a traffic light at the intersection of Highway 97 and First Street. I think Justin has given you some data, and there's a copy of that intersection there. This traffic light will accomplish two main things. It will allow the county to expand and grow at the Lapine Industrial Site, which will bring in new jobs to the area, really needed jobs in that area. And that would be in my district and Representative McLean's district. Additional traffic has the potential to take a dangerous intersection and make it even, this additional traffic would make it even worse. And after a five-year period, there's been 14 reported crashes, including eight that led to injury at this intersection. It's near the school, and kids cross the road to get to a McDonald's, and also there's a Taco Bell nearby. They didn't want to eat the good food, Chair Reed. The legislation is needed to give the counties the flexibility needed to use county dollars to improve and off-site infrastructure is necessary for Lapine Industrial Park to grow and enhance public safety. So I ask the committee to support this. I appreciate your hearing it this early. It is very important to South County, and I yield the rest of my time to my colleague,
Thank you, sir. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Chair Reed and members of the committee. I'm Mike McLean. I represent House District 55. Which currently represents everything south in Deschutes County from Representative Wisnett's area in Sun River. So it includes Lapine. And this intersection is, as Representative Wisnett has mentioned, a dangerous intersection along Highway 97. Perhaps if Representative Clem's farm-to-food bill had more funding, it would solve the dilemma, but currently the traffic from school to the McDonald's is just one of the many things across Highway 97 that's been problematic. One of the other things, it's located, that intersection is by the industrial lands of Lapine, and they have had a very difficult time getting some companies and interested parties to land there because of the intersection. No light, and you have to pull out into Highway 97 traffic, and Lapine is also well known for its severe winters, and the combination of the two makes that intersection practically unusable from the industrial standpoint. One of the other aspects of it is how to fund the light, which has already had research done into it, and and ODOT is prepared to move forward, but there has to be funds provided. And so we sort of have the pot of money dilemma, and that the pot of money that makes most sense for economic development in a very rural and cash-starved area is the money that is for this economic development. The statute, unfortunately, doesn't allow, or at least there is question from legislative council about whether it would allow those funds to be used for a traffic control device. And the words development versus implementation may need some massaging, and hopefully Mr. Rainey will be able to provide testimony in that regard. But I, again, thank you for the time. Lapine is an area. It's Oregon's newest city. It's growing. And this fix could allow them to put that device in there, not only make it safer, but clearly one of the greatest benefits will be to that access to industrial land would now be marketable. And we're hopeful, combined with the Enterprise Zone in Lapine, that there will be success in getting a company to move there. And thank you, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Representative. Let's. If I'll ask if there are questions for you, because I imagine you might have other places you need to be, and then you can excuse yourselves if you want, or stay if you want. Any questions for Representative McLean or Representative Wisnett? Representative Betts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this the first light for Lapine?
Yes, sir.
Is there?
You know, I just found out. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Pence. I just found out that original plans was that 97 was going to be the interstate, the north-south interstate, not I-5.
Was it really?
And that road 97 goes right through the middle of the town, so they'll face the same situation that the lovely city of Sisters faces with a U.S. highway through the the middle of town. So,
and I might add that we are quite prepared to. Name that light after Chair Reed or Representative Ben.
The good news here is that our agenda is light enough today that we can accommodate this kind of thing. Did you want to say anything on the behalf of the City of Burns or anything?
Mr. Chair, I already have a town with just one light. That would be John Day.
Okay.
And so I don't need this light for my purposes. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Rainey.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Justin Rainey, and I'm here on behalf of Deschutes County. I want to thank Representative McLean and Representative Wisnett for bringing this to the committee's attention. I think they did a pretty good job laying out the background as to the problem that we face with the intersection, but I want to talk a little bit about the specific fund and the challenges that we're faced with. House Bill 3130 is intended to give the county more flexibility with how the county spends dollars that are currently in the industrial development revolving account. Deschutes County owns and operates the Lapine Industrial Park, which is about 300 acres. When the county sells a property or leases a property that's located in an area that is planned and zoned for industrial use, the county treasurer can then deposit those funds or the proceeds into the Industrial Development Revolving Fund. These are county funds, yet it's the state statute that governs how they can be spent. As the representatives laid out, Deschutes County had hoped to partner with the Oregon Department of Transportation to put a stoplight at the intersection of Highway 97 and First Street. $200,000 from Deschutes County would have leveraged about $1.2 million in public safety money and other money from the Oregon Department of Transportation. Recently, Deschutes County's legal counsel issued an opinion that basically said they weren't certain if the funds could be used in that manner because it was dealing with an off-site expenditure, so something that wasn't on the actual industrial property. Legislative counsel recently issued a letter that indicated they weren't certain either. Essentially, legislative counsel said if there has been an economic development plan, which is authorized by ORS 280500, than they possibly can. So at this point, Deschutes County is reviewing the LC opinion, but we think we're probably going to need legislation to allow this. Essentially, what we're trying to deal with is, can the county spend money to help mitigate problems, or not problems, but increased activity or traffic, even if it's off-site of the actual park. Our hope is they can. The bill in its current draft and the draft that is before you is going to need a little bit of work, but we do have amendments that would essentially, or we're working on amendments that would essentially give the county the authority to determine if they want to spend funding on a traffic safety device or something that's necessary to increase access to the industrial zone. So with that, I'll stop. I would ask the committee to continue to work with us. We appreciate you taking the time for the hearing today. We know you have a lot of issues, but we look forward to working with you moving forward. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to do my best to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Rainey. We appreciate you being here. Are there any questions, Representative Doherty?
Okay. On your handout, you have a diagram of an overhead of what the Highway 97 is. Is this two lanes or four lanes?
Chair Reed, Representative Doherty, my understanding is it's actually it's a five-lane highway.
Okay.
And then two lanes going the other way. So it's a pretty heavy intersection in terms of traffic, and as the representatives indicated, especially when you're trying to gauge the different levels of speed on Highway 97, it's difficult, and you'll see that it's also been used as a pedestrian crossing by some, and that's where I think a lot of the accidents have come forward, is it's difficult to gauge the speed.
Thank you.
Question, Representative Cameron.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rainey. Can you identify whether that's Representative McLean in front or Representative Wisnett in front?
Wisnett in the back. You know, he's not
Chair,
the back.
Chair Reed, Representative Cameron. It's a tough one to tell. I'm under the assumption that the Representative Wisnett is much faster. So I would guess that it's Representative Wisnett that's up front.
Thank you.
The good news is they're not here. So
hopefully they're not watching.
Very good. Let's, if there aren't any other questions, we do have the benefit of the department here, and if the appropriate person might help us with a little background on the fund, that'd be helpful too. I'm looking back there, no one's moving yet. Industrial Development Fund? Nobody? Business Oriented? Okay, I may have spoken too soon. Okay. Very good. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on House Bill 3130? The informational hearing. I don't see any. Okay. We'll be back to it when we have the correct notice underway. Thank you. Now, with that, we'll close the informational meeting on House Bill 3130 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3024. Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 3024 directs Oregon Business Development Department to conduct study of sites ready for industrial development and shall include consultation and input from local governments, regional economic development organizations, community development corporations and organizations, community development projects, ports, the economic revitalization team, state agencies. It requires department to report to legislative committees regarding findings of study, declares emergency effective upon passage.
Thank you, Troy. Committee, as you recall, this was the general topic of a lot of our conversation on Friday, and in particular, recall Mr. Jillian's making reference to a study that the Port of Portland, the Portland Business Association, Business Oregon, and a bunch of others collaborated on about industrial development and industrial lands in the Portland area. So this bill is a natural follow-on, and we're glad to hear Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Chair Reed, members of the committee. I'm Lou Frederick, representing House District 43, North and Northeast Portland. My district includes many unused industrial lands as well as so-called brownfields, smaller contaminated sites. In fact, the last count was that I had about 147 brownfields in my district. You may have the same amount or more, actually. If you get a check, you might want to get that checked. Both the industrial lands and the brownfields are critical to our future economic capacity, and I hope to talk with you specifically about brownfields another day. House Bill 3024 would direct the Oregon Business Development Department, Business Oregon, to study industrial lands statewide. Paul Grove from Business Oregon and Michael Williams are here to help me be expert. They're the experts. I'm going to call them experts anyway, on industrial lands. We talk a lot about needing adequate information. Sometimes we fail to enact good legislation because we can't back up what we think is needed with facts and figures. We do not currently have a clear picture of the availability of industrial lands around the state. First, of course, we have to define available. Available does not just mean for sale. It does not just mean vacant. It means ready for development. Also, immediate availability is not the only issue. Suitability is also important to know. Would a site in question be appropriate for industrial development if certain conditions were met or remediated? And what sort of industry would be a good fit? And we should also understand that these lands are already committed to industrial or commercial use. For the most part, the impact on the environment of preparing them for development and use is only positive. They tend to be located where the amenities required for industrial use are already available, such as water and power service and access to shipping. They may be contaminated from previous industrial use, but industrial land is too scarce and too important to write them off. Last year, as you mentioned, Chair Reed, the Portland Business Alliance and Business Oregon collaborated on a study of these lands in the Portland metro area. They studied not only how many industrial lands are available for immediate development, but also the suitability of these sites, their size and price, and the expected economic impact if they are developed. But that was only the Portland metro area. Industrial lands are critical to our economic health of cities around the state. They have the potential to rev up our economic engine, to increase our capacity to make stuff that people elsewhere want to buy. So I encourage you to pass this bill so that we can gain a comprehensive catalog of where we can go, where the best places are, so that we can build our industrial capacity, harness their economic potential, and revitalize some of the urban economies. I'll pass this along to Paul Grove, if he wants to say a few words.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, for the record, Paul Grove with Business Oregon, the Oregon Business Development Department, here today to answer any questions you may have on the issue. Frankly, that would be Michael Williams, who had served as our industrial land specialist and can speak in greater detail as to the availability of sites throughout the state and the needs as presented. It's an important issue, one that you heard about in detail on Friday, and appreciate the committee taking up this issue and recognizing the need to have suitable supply of industrial lands to further our economic development activities.
Thank you both. Other questions? Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly agree that we need to know. I guess I find myself a little surprised, though, that we still need to know. Why don't we already know these things? There have been studies that, or I shouldn't say studies, I have received and read information for years on available industrial sites, sometimes in updating a comprehensive plan or a metro area plan, you have to update that information with what's available, what's buildable, are they brownfields, what are the constraints. I guess I want to hear more about, do we need to start from scratch all over again? Are our studies needing to be scrapped? What have the different ports and business organizations done at Chambers of Commerce? It seems like there are lots of studies, but apparently they're still not sufficient. So I just need to get a better handle on what's missing.
Could I try to add to that question and amend it slightly? And maybe what I was interested in, so maybe it just kind of combines into one question, is what, if anything, did you learn from the study that we heard about in the Portland metro area that you might do differently? I think that's sort of consistent with with your question.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, and Representative Nathanson, Chair Reed, we learned quite a few things from this study.
I'm afraid I need to have you introduce yourself.
Oh, my name is Michael. For the record, my name is Michael Williams. I'm the Industrial Land Specialist for Business Oregon, Oregon Business Development. We learned quite a bit from this assessment study that was done in the metro area. We've also done similar studies around the state, and we also feel like our the Industrial Lands Program is an ongoing
ongoing way of assessing sites. So it is true that there has been quite a few studies done, but ongoing looks at land in different geographies for different industries in different ways always seems to bring up new information that we can use strategically. With the study that was done in the metro area, I think one of the most important conclusions was concerning ownership and the whether ownership is involved and actively marketing and involved in getting the site developed. And that seemed to be one of the major findings of that, is that we had very uneven owner participation by owners. Much of the rest of the study was based upon site certification and the principles of site certification, as well as our Decision Ready program, which is a planning tool that's used to help look at a lot of sites and do this very thing, and could be leveraged to do something like in House Bill 3024.
Thank you. Questions, Representative Lively.
So I'm not one for reinventing the wheel, but again, I think there's a reason to have all this information, but I can tell you in Eugene, Springfield, we've done this multiple times. And in fact, when I ran the partnership, we had a very extensive database that showed us all the information. But when I read through this, so one of my concerns I have when you talk about who you're going to include in trying to build this, to me, one key ingredient missing is the industrial real estate community. Because frankly, when we put together our lists and that, in many cases, they have the best and most current information, because in some cases, obviously, they're trying to sell the sites or they're trying to move the sites. And so I'd want to make sure, again, I'm trying not to reinvent the wheel, but take the body of information that we have out there. And that group, you know, I can tell you some small communities I'm familiar with. The one industrial real estate person that works in that community knows more about those sites and that than anybody else is going to know, certainly more than the government. So I would just hope there's some way to build that in so we don't kind of reinvent all this information.
Chair Reed, Representative Lively, appreciate the point. It's a very good point, and something that we've heard as well from that community, and it's definitely worth consideration and inclusion moving forward on whatever studies are done in the future. Thank you.
Representative Betts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I too am having some difficulty in figuring out exactly what we might use this report for and what prompts it. I can guess at some things that I would hope it would show, similar to that which we learned last year, and that is that we don't have enough of it, and that there's a shortage of it, and we need more of it, and that is an outcome that I would anticipate from this study. Is that what, Representative, you're thinking this would show? Is that the primary purpose of this, or is there something else going on in this study that you hope to learn from it?
Well, Chair Reed and Representative Bentz, yes, that is part of it. We hope that will show that, but I think it's also a matter of just understanding. We've had a number of situations across the state where people have been approached concerning various properties, or just simple requests. Do you have anything available? And that has not been as clear as we might want it to be. I think this will help do that across the state. One of the places that I recall was actually the situation surrounding Ontario, where there was a company that was looking at an area there, and there was a sense that we knew what was available, but it wasn't real clear. And I think this perhaps clears it up a lot more. We will have this data available statewide, which would make a big difference.
So the thought is that there would, I don't know what BizOrg currently has when it comes to a inventory of that which is available. What is it that you guys now have? If I called up and said I need 500 acres of industrial land day after tomorrow, what do you look at?
Chair Reed, Representative Bentz, we would have a number of resources. We don't have a single resource, but we have our own tracking of available land and properties on the Business Oregon website. We could also access our partners and ask them statewide or in any particular community. So that would be two of the ways that we would go about finding such an availability.
Thank you. In looking at the bill, the subsection 2 calls out of sufficient size, and it says owned and held in a manner that facilitates efficient industrial development I'm not quite sure what that means. And then it says public facilities, that's simple enough, and then few, if any, environmental constraints. Once one takes all those into account, that might dramatically narrow. And I know from the report that we saw last year, there had been a graphic illustration of the many of these categories. And I think that was just in the Portland area.
Correct.
Is that something that you would use as a template for this exercise? Is this bill reflective of kind of what was done in that report?
Chair Reed, Representative Benz, yeah, that could be one very good model. That was a very intensive look at the sites in the metro area, and that could definitely a study like that or a subset of that study probably could meet these requirements.
Go ahead.
And I'm just concerned about some of the criteria. 2A, again, is a good example of sufficient size to meet industrial needs, taking into account inquiries received by the department from persons seeking to engage. It seems, I don't know what that means. And the same would be true as to B, owned and held in manner facilitates industrial development. Does that mean, as the representative indicated, that it's available? Or, for example, in Ontario, Heinz Foods owns 200 acres of land, about 50 of which are being utilized, 150 of which are being held for future use, but none of it's available. And they have no enthusiasm for selling one corner of it. So how would that fit into subset B here? Owned and held in a manner to facilitate sufficient industrial development.
Chair Reed, Representative Benz, we would probably set up a criteria before we went into the study and decide ahead of time about how we were going to represent and count such lands. If you're referring to the metro inventory, if a site was owned by a user that was on the site and had that land available for expanding, it wasn't counted in the inventory. That's not to be said that other types of inventories don't count that space. I think for land use purposes, that would be counted as part of the available inventory. So that would just be something that would need to be decided on.
So I want to make
sure. It's part of the parameters of the study.
I want to make sure I heard what you said correctly. For land use purposes, it's counted as available, but for the purposes of the study that was done in Portland, it was not counted if it was owned by a user with the general understanding that it might be expanded on later?
Sure, that would be correct, because the Metro study was looking at sites, available sites that were available on the market. The focus was on the short-term, what's available today for current growth.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. This is a mean question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. On 2F, it says zoned in a manner that allows the desired industrial development or can be zoned in a manner to allow within, quote, a reasonable period of time. Given my observations that there's a broad scope of reasonable period of time, could you tell us what that means? Is that 6 months, 2 months, 5 years?
Chair Reed, Representative Benz, at least our methodology, we often use the 180-day criteria that we use for certification. That was also used in the Metro study. That's the most common benchmark that I'm aware of.
So this bill, if it moves out of this committee, has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, one of the obvious questions and one that I've been wondering about is there's probably a wide variety of answers to this depending on any amendments we might make or further clarification of the criteria and so on. But do you have any sense of what it might cost to do a study like this?
Chair Reed, I would not be prepared to cost out a study like this. I do know that we could probably find out how much was spent in order to do the Metro study and to do something as in-depth as that. We could provide that to the committee.
That'd be helpful. And obviously, if we did choose to move it, we'd need to know that to have a fiscal impact statement. Other questions, Representative Lively?
So let's say we could work out all the details of what specifics they're supposed to be. So my next concern then becomes accuracy of information, because often cases what happens with a study, the minute the study is completed, information has changed. And so if we're going to go through all this effort, I guess I'd like to understand, so what mechanism or what are we going to do to ensure that going forward it remains a valuable report, that we're able to update it or correct it as conditions on the ground changes?
At this particular point, part of the reason that we have the Chair Reed, Representative Lively. Part of the reason that we have the request that this report be available on or before the 2014 regular session is so that we can at least be not be waiting for another session before we get this. I mean, 2015 or whatever. I mean, this has got to be an updated situation because it's going to change. It's going to change almost weekly. Maybe even daily in some cases. So we need to be able to do that. That's exactly right. The study itself is based on a timely understanding of what's going on. So,
thank you, Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a comment, and I don't want to get into the details of the study, but there is a reference made to was it Hines in your area, Representative, and even though there's 150 acres there that maybe is owned by a company but not being utilized, I don't think we should ignore those types of properties in any kind of study, because there's obviously potential jobs, and knowing the free market as I do, everything's always for sale. So I think that might be something to consider as we're moving forward, that we have properties that are ready, but we just designate them in a certain point that it's privately controlled or held at this point in time.
Thank you, Representative Cameron. My point was not to quibble with that when I asked it, but just to understand the methodology. But you make a good point about being clear about what the methodology is, whatever we decide to do. So I appreciate that. Other questions? I don't see any. We have two more people to testify on the bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Aaron Doyle and Peggy Woolsey, please. Would like to go first?
I guess I will. Good afternoon, Chair Reed, members of the committee. For the record, Aaron Doyle with the League of Oregon Cities. I'm here to just present we're generally supportive of the concept of getting a better handle of what industrial lands are immediately available for development, due to the fact that it's difficult to know. Not every community has the resources of Metro or the Eugene-Springfield area, so having a statewide program that would allow us to have this kind of information where we can determine what's quickly developable will be very helpful. Not only would it provide us with the information of what communities do have these sites available, but it will also inform the communities that do not have those sites available and perhaps give them the impetus to determine how to best develop those sites, including if it's canceled out because of private ownership or a brownfield designation, what possible remedies we have for creating industrial sites that are available in our other in the communities that don't find that they have any properties that meet the criteria of this study. We understand that there's a number of different methods that have been proposed this session, and we want to continue working to develop the best information and the best tools for cities to determine what they need to do to find more industrial sites to bring more economic development into the state and help both our cities and our state become more prosperous. I appreciate your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Ms. Woolsey.
Hi, my name is Peggy Woolsey. I'm with Tax Fairness Oregon. I am pleased to appear again before this committee. Tax Fairness Oregon has several members that analyze the bills and have submitted information to me. And the analysis that they have submitted to me shows that House Bill 3024 is similar to House Bill 2285 and Senate Bill 253, because it seems to have similar goals of identifying, describing the readiness needs of identifying the time needed to bring sites to shovel-ready status and getting ready to prioritize the sites. Of the three bills, we believe that House Bill 3024 best responds to the need to know what potential industrial sites are available, what the needs are, and what the timelines are. There are a few changes we would suggest if you intend to amend this bill. Specifically, direct Business Oregon to take into account the short and long-term transportation planning of the area. to specifically amend several references to reasonable period of time, make it specific whether the timeline is for shovel-ready status would place the property into Tier 1, Tier 2, or Tier 3 status, because this gives a clearer meaning. In Section 1, Parens 2, Parens A, we would change the language to engage industrial use of or development of sites in this state by adding the use of or to make it clear that the development might be done by a business for itself or by a development business. In Section 1, Parens 2, Parens B, owned and held in a manner that facilitates efficient industrial development, and we would add the words, or is of a size that consolidating the ownership of the land may be beneficial for future industrial use. In Section 1, Parens 3, change the word may to shall so that the reports are brought back to the legislature. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Woolsey, you figured it out. That's why this bill is in this hearing, because it is similar in terms of topic. Don't tell anyone that they're related.
It's our little secret.
All right, perfect. Any questions?
So I just have a comment. I'd be interested. I think you talked about immediate and quickly, and having been years in economic development, I can tell you those are very important points, and it kind of goes back to what Representative Benz said. So as we do this study, I mean, it would be incredibly important to really define that, and I'd be interested in hearing from different communities, because in a small community, an immediate might be something very different than a large community. But I think getting that definition and getting the help from the League from a standpoint across communities, so that when we start, because what information we have, if we're going to use it in 2014, it probably better be immediate or it's not going to be of much value, frankly. So hopefully you can work with the cities and as these go forward, and we can understand a little bit more. If you talk about immediate, or if we talk about immediate, or quickly, what, you know, is that 60 days, 180 days, or just exactly what that is?
Chair Reed, Representative Lively, the League would love to participate in that way.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions? I don't see any. Thank you very much. That completes the list of people who signed up on House Bill 3024. Is there anyone else who'd like to be heard on the bill? At this, colleagues, we've finished early. We'll close the hearing on House Bill 3024. And Troy, is there any other business we need to take care of?
Maybe you could introduce Kathy.
Ah, very good. We have a new committee assistant. Kathy, would you like to introduce yourself so people know who you are?
It works for me.
Thank you, Chair Reed, members of the committee. My name is Kathy Clark. I'm the committee assistant for House Transportation. It's a pleasure to be part of this team.
We're glad you're here.
Welcome.
Thank you. Unless there's anything else, we have the Oregon Innovation Council on Wednesday. We will see you then. News adjourned. Okay.